When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, you guys remember a while back we watched a TV show on Apple TV called Invasion?
Oh, that show.
How can I forget it? It's
awful. We all got alcoholism.
Is it the one that had the guy from Jurassic Park in it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Sam Neill's in it, right?
Yeah.
Not really.
Sort of. For 12 minutes.
I think I watched the first episode. It said very Sam Neill heavy.
I had to go to a 12-step program after that show.
Right.
Well, it came back for a season two, and we're going to review it now.
Mm. Oh, bro.
Come on.
Really? We have to do this? Shady Mile.
Whiskey, huh?
Whiskey. Let's go.
Speaking of drinks, so for season one, I made us a really terrible cocktail called the Wajotini.
God, it was gross.
It was really bad because I wanted to emulate what was going on the show. The show was bad. I made a bad cocktail. This year, this season, I promised Vader that I would make something that actually tasted good. So I created an original cocktail for this season using our Shady Mile whiskey.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
It's called a shot of whiskey.
Is this just a glass of whiskey?
Cheers.
There it is. So jelly right now.
Yeah. So we're going to be reviewing the hard butter of science fiction shows, Invasion, on Apple TV.
Hard butter.
Okay. Hard
okay.
butter.
Okay. Was that natural? Did you write that down 4 days ago?
We decided that's what the show
that was a metaphor
is.
That Vader came up with at the end of last season.
I forget.
The hard butter.
It's like hard butter.
Yeah. Or it's like you're trying to spread it on your bread, and it just rips the bread.
It ruins it.
So this is the hard butter of science fiction TV shows. And the way that this works, so Jude asked me who's writing the synopsis. And for all of season one, I was the one who did it. So I'm like, I'll keep doing it. She was like, Thank God.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to synopsis this. But the way that this works is because this show is all over the place, we group the recaps based off of the characters who are in the show as opposed to going chronologically.
We're going old school here.
Yeah, going old school.
All right.
All right. So... we're going to start this off with like the prelude of season two, which is that they take a little bit of time at the beginning of this episode to kind of like get us up to speed with what's happened since the end of season one. And season two, episode one is called Something's Changed.
Are we going to review the Get Caught Up segment? Is that what we're doing?
No, okay. We already did that.
We're going to recap the recap.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? We're recapping the recap.
We did that last week.
Yeah.
We recapped the entire show last week.
That's what a recap is.
Oh, take it away, Katie.
All right. So it's day 121 of the invasion, and 4 months have passed since the events of season one.
4 months.
The president of the World Defense Coalition, an African leader named Binya Mbate, addresses the world in an emergency broadcast. Though we nuked the aliens last season and everyone was celebrating, turns out more alien ships have come to Earth and things are worse than ever. Alien spores have infected the air in over 30% of the planet. Oh, and those assholes are sneezing all over the goddamn place and making it hard to breathe. So the terraforming is apparently still going on, and fridge crawlers are all over the place attacking people and causing a refugee crisis. There is a faction of humanity that apparently doesn't trust the governments to protect them, so Mbate pleads with them to just, you know, do whatever the government says because they're from the government and they're here to help. Tom, what do you think of that?
About that last little phrase you just stated or about the whole thing you just said? Because my shirt should tell you how I feel about the government. Yeah, I didn't trust them then. I don't trust them now. I'm not trusting them 3 weeks from now.
So you'd be part of the fringe group that's,
rebelled. What's the fringe group called? Is it just?
It's the movement.
The movement.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it mean I have an unlimited supply of Molotov cocktails that come out of absolutely nowhere?
Well, man, you just stole my shit. I got four fucking pages of notes.
He does.
That's okay.
But you want to go first next?
No, that's cool, man.
I'll just talk less.
No, that's fine. You're a good talker.
Well,
you talk good.
You verbing nice, boy.
You have a nice mouth.
Yeah.
You have a good mouth.
What do you guys think of the fact that it's 4 months later and things have just gotten worse since they were celebrating the defeat?
How about at the... So let's go back to the recap. When they recapped season one and then at the end, they added a line... This one's bigger. That wasn't in season one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I immediately from the get-go, from this very first scene of this world president of the world, was like immediate like, who the fuck is this chick?
Yeah.
I was like, so we have a president of the world now? It's like, what and why is she from?
Well, hold on. It wasn't the president of the world. It was the president of the World Defense Coalition.
Okay, so she rules the world.
Okay, so
she's doing addresses to the world.
Let's be real. Africa's not known for their defensive budget, and they're also not known for female leaders.
That's very true.
But in this very, future very world,
progressive.
Not only is Africa leading the defense coalition, they're leading the world, and they put a girl in charge. Man, this is Africa,
but Africa heads up the UN, right?
So like, when?
Isn't the head of the UN an African?
It's not a chick.
No, it's not. It's not a woman, but I mean, like, they're very progressive over at the UN.
I don't pay attention to the UN, like most people. It doesn't matter.
They un-Nazied the world.
Oh my God! We need to move on, or I'm going to get us canceled right now because I have things going through my head that I shouldn't say.
Well, what was interesting is like they revealed at the end of the first season that the aliens were terraforming stuff, but we never got to see any of that really. Like we saw like parts of the forest had been changed over to like gray matter or something that instantly got healed once Anisha started waving like the magical alien bullshit device around. what they're establishing here
the
is
bullshit
is that,
device.
And Jude was very astute at this because like we caught that immediately at the end of the season one recap where like when Trevante and his wife are staring out over the ocean, they see like the big alien spaceship. We hear a voice that say like these are bigger or something like that. And we were like, wait, that wasn't in season one. Yeah. So like they snuck some
now
stuff in there.
Now it's salt and vinegar.
Yeah, exactly. But things are worse than ever on Earth apparently. And we're going to get into the various storylines here. We're going to start off with everyone's favorite Mrs. Piece of Shit, Anisha Malik.
I would just really quickly like to comment on how generic and boring the epic music was that they did roll the credits with on the show. Because I listen to that same music when I'm trying to be like non-copyrighted when I'm playing video games. It's the same shit. It's the same.
You're not listening to the Beatles in the background. You're listening to this like lo-fi hip-hop mix.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was epic video game music that they're playing and rolling the credits. It was really bad.
Yeah.
I was not impressed.
So to be fair, I didn't watch the first season at all. Mm-hmm. I watched the first two episodes is about as far as I got into it. And I'm not going to lie. After watching this first episode, I was just saying to Kadesh, I'm like, were you guys wrong? Because I actually enjoyed this episode. And is the show actually better than you're giving on? Because I actually enjoyed the first episode.
Maybe starting at season two is the right call.
Yeah, nothing makes
Maybe
sense.
Maybe it does. Maybe just start right there.
Well, we're going to get into it. Yeah. So let's talk about Anisha Malik's story.
Oh my God, these kids are 25.
Yeah.
Four months have gone by. The son has aged 5 years.
Oh my God. They five should have years. Just started this story 2 years later.
Yeah. It's crazy, Tom. The kid is literally like in third grade in the first season.
Yeah.
And now he's a junior in high school.
Yeah. Oh,
it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's like an anxious teenager who hates his mom.
He's about to like fist fight his own mother and probably win.
I mean, I've already called him Piece of Shit Junior. That's his fucking name for me.
Oh, so she's Piece of Shit.
She's Piece of Shit.
She's Mrs.
Mrs. Doctor Piece of Shit.
This is the Piece of Shit crime family now. This is what they've turned into.
They got tools.
All right, yeah. Let's get to the story.
Trying to wrangle cats right now.
In British Columbia, Earth, Sarah Connor, Anisha Malik, has spent the last 4 months on the run from murderous hillbillies, all the while prepping her children to survive in the cutthroat new world of post-invasion Earth, while totally bogarting the only weapon on the planet capable of killing aliens that, might be of use to the planet's military. I don't know. Thanks, Anisha. Way to be a team player. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she sends her kids into a gas station to act as a distraction so she can steal some gasoline. But the gas station is being run by a member of The Movement, a fringe group of people who don't want to save Earth or something. Anyway, Once the guy realizes that his gasoline is getting stolen, he grabs his shotgun, but Luke Malik, aka Piece of Shit Jr., decides he needs to steal a bunch of tools while the hillbilly with a shotgun is trying to break open the front door that Anisha somehow braced with a pipe. But rather than head out the back entrance that both Piece of Shit Jr. and his sister Sarah run out of, the hillbilly with a shotgun just keeps banging against the front lock door, giving the shit family the time they need to drive off with their ill-gotten goods. Then Anisha gives Piece of Shit Jr. a hard time about putting all their lives at risk, but Piece of Shit Jr. just says that they needed the tools, even though it's very apparent that they really didn't need them.
These are all metric. 17 seconds. You took longer than 17 seconds.
Yes. After 2 days at an abandoned home, Anisha is ready to move on, but Piece of Shit Jr. is tired of being on the run constantly, but not so tired of being a complete piece of shit just like his father. He gives his mom some really unnecessary grief by being a whiny little brat. But eventually, Anisha convinces the kids that it's best to keep moving and hit the road again. They stop at yet another movement-controlled gas station, but it just so happens that the Canadian military is also there, you know, grabbing lunch. While Anisha goes inside to see if she can barter for some gas, Piece of Shit Jr. decides it's a good idea to steal a bunch of gasoline from the military right in front of the military and instantly gets caught. When Anisha tries to bail Piece of Shit Jr. out of trouble, the Canadian military realizes she's the one on the run with the only alien-killing weapon on record and immediately arrest her and her kids, putting them in the same paddy wagon as Joel from The Last of Us. Just kidding. I'm actually talking about Clark Evans, the leader of the local movement faction, who just so happens to look exactly like the video game version of Joel from The Last of Us. As the Canadian military starts driving prisoners back to base, they are cleverly ambushed by a young girl covered in ketchup and a big group of movement hillbillies.
Literally covered in ketchup.
Who seem to overpower actually well-trained and armed soldiers, just proving how useless Canada's military is. Once the Maliks are sprung, Evans takes them back to the movement safe house and offers to let them stay with them as long as they like, because unlike some people, he's apparently not a complete piece of shit. Discuss.
Ooh, piece of shit family.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. You guys keep implying that that bubbly piece of tree bark that is this alien killing weapon.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
The little Japanese girl killed like 500 aliens with fire.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
Why do you keep saying it's the only thing that kills aliens?
It's the only weapon that they have that they can use
she
to kill.
She just little fire and it killed like 10 of them.
Yeah.
And then she's like throwing Molotov cocktails. I don't understand where she had them.
Coming out of her ass.
I think so. Like a Pokeball. It's just in there somewhere. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
But you keep saying it's the only thing that kills the aliens, but I distinctly watched her kill like 50 aliens.
So those are the only two things that we know that kills the aliens, I think. Is
fire
does a great job.
It's like instant death.
But fire will also destroy everything else like around the aliens. So this is the only weapon.
I think there would be some...
It reverses the terraforming.
It's a magic wand.
It's a do-all.
It's a magic wand.
It's a deus ex machina.
It's a magical bullshit device.
So it's a deus ex machina.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, this thing just solves all of our problems. Like,
I still just wonder why Mrs. Piece of Shit isn't freaked out that her kid like magically aged 5 years overnight. I would like lose it.
Well, maybe
what happened to you?
Maybe that's what she was staring at in surprise at the end of the first season because they never told us what she saw.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, then,
he grew up. He magically grew and aged 5 years right in front of her. That would be strange.
But then while they're at the safe house and the kid is like, I don't want to leave anymore. And the military and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, it wasn't the military that killed your father. No, it was the guys that you end up teaming up with at the end of the episode. Uh-huh.
I also find it that, so like this whole movement thing kind of came out of nowhere at the end of season one, where these hillbillies, for some reason, decided that the government shouldn't have this metal that has been proven to kill aliens.
I feel like you're on the side of the government, Matt.
Always.
Matt's like, well, the government, they have science and degrees.
Well, first, we need to remember, we're talking about the Canadian military here.
Oh, we're in Canada.
We're in Canada. These guys are fucking useless. I mean, they're more interested in eating their freaking bologna sandwiches than protecting the world. It's crazy.
But even in season one, untrained hillbillies with automatic weapons were able to take out trained soldiers.
Yeah. So, don't you watch anything?
I guess.
I mean, that's the thing. The people, militia people, are way tougher than the actual military.
Mm.
You know, you're like watching Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. You know, like the governor's people.
Sure.
You know, all the, you know, they're
well, crazy is a lot. So when you're crazy, You can do things, right? So when you're in like military, you have rules and things you have to follow. Mm-hmm. If you're just like crazy people running around, mm-hmm. it's hard to deal with.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The difference here is that at the end of season one, the movement were the bad guys because they were trying to hunt down Piece of Shit's family and kill them. They ended up supposedly killing Piece of Shit. But in this episode, these are the cool movement guys. They're not as evil as the military.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I've never considered the Piece of Shits the good guys in anything. They've been nothing but an irritation and an annoyance
to be fair, the entire series. Yeah, to be fair,
I'm not rooting for them.
Yeah, you call them Piece of Shit. I don't think that's their name.
No, yeah. It's because they're
malice.
They're very disliked.
The dad was a cheating piece of shit who didn't care about anything other than himself.
Yeah.
He, it was all about his family. He was getting ready to leave them the second he could.
Look at all this passion you have.
You know?
Just so much passion for this character.
You know, you kind of felt a little bit about his family in the first season because he treated them so poorly and mm-hmm. they didn't even realize it. So you had a little bit of empathy. But now I have no empathy for these people because they're just stupid. And mm-hmm. it's just, and the kid's got a smart ass 14-year-old mouth on him mm-hmm. that you just want to fucking smack off his face.
Yeah.
You know, and the little girl who somehow hasn't aged 5 years, she's still the same age she was 4 months ago.
She's older too.
Okay. Well, she's, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Oh, that's all she does. She just whines.
Yeah.
You know,
the kids.
Yeah. I guess she's more realistic than the brother.
I mean, have
the
you been to Walmart?
and the mom, I don't even know what to say. She's
basically Sarah Connor
she's,
now.
She's not smart enough to be Sarah Connor. She's not Sarah Connor. Not even close. Sarah Connor would have killed all those soldiers and been on her way with all the gas.
Well, not Terminator. Terminator 2 Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Maybe you're talking Terminator Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
She's just some dumb chick running around trying not to die.
No, she's become a survivalist within the span of 4 months. She knows how to handle weapons now.
She's end of T1.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah, she's end of Terminator 1 Sarah Connor.
It's just,
and she's prepping her kids to like survive in this like hostile new
world.
When
did she become Miss Commando?
4 months? Exactly.
This bitch is a fucking nurse.
They really should have made this happen 2 years down the line.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot of these issues just fall to the wayside.
I am preparing you to survive in this world. It's like, bitch, you don't know how to survive in this world. It's like, you don't know nothing. No. Where did all this strategy in this, you have 17 seconds to talk
how
to this guy.
How much gas can you get in 17
yada,
seconds,
yada,
by
yada,
the way?
Not much. You have 12.4 seconds to pull this thing off. And it's like we can't stay here longer than 24 hours. And
sometimes like, I can't even squeeze the handle right.
It's ridiculous.
I just keep doing that clicky thing.
Yeah.
And I keep pulling the handle. And it just keeps clicking. It just keeps clicking.
ChatGPT is losing its. It's not writing a good story here.
Also, the hillbilly who was running the gas station. Like as soon as those kids came in, don't you think he would have like glanced out and saw her like jonesing off that gas?
He didn't hear her pull up.
It's the dumbest thing.
And here's my other problem with this is that. She has trained her children to help her steal gasoline. She's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She could just walk up and be like, hey, I'm a doctor. I need gas. Do you have any injured people in your life that you need me to barter my services for some gasoline?
Yeah, or barter your services.
Or she could just go, do you have any gas? I know money doesn't matter anymore because it's the end of the fucking world and it's the apocalypse and an alien invasion, but I need some gas to go do this thing.
He seemed to be running a corner store.
Yeah,
right.
he was just working there.
Yeah.
And they're Mad Max in it and he's just working. Yeah. So what's going on there?
Right. I was like, the stores are still open?
Yeah.
Are we still using money? And
we ran out of ice cream weeks ago. Like,
and how did he not notice her like barricading that door with that pipe?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. For some reason, there's nothing left on the shelves in the store, but there's plenty of gas in the tank to pump out of the ground, you know, so I don't know. None of it makes any sense.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm still holding to it. I feel like you guys really want to hate it.
And I
just sat there and
watched
it. I'm
upset that I'm watching this fucking show because I would not be watching the show.
See, you're just digging now. You're digging the dig.
You don't have to dig.
You're digging the dig.
Because it's right there. If my dumb ass brain can come up with a page of notes of inconsistencies and weirdness, then this show has problems.
Oh, okay. If you want me to sit there and come up with inconsistencies and bullshit, of course. But
Yeah. Listen, you're not going to fucking sit there in that chair and defend this show.
I'm not defending the show.
Not on the Salty Nerd podcast.
Somebody
you are
has
not
to
doing
speak for
that.
The show.
Shut no. You can go away.
All right. So speaking of the show, let's get to Mitsuki Yamoto's storyline.
Oh, the chosen
oh, boy.
One.
Yeah. That's a rough storyline.
All right. So in Osaka, Japan, Earth, mm-hmm. Mitsuki has run out of blonde hair dye and is pissed. As the fridge crawlers attack Japan en masse, Mitsuki is pulling her best Ellen Ripley and burning those fuckers with Molotov cocktails. Where she's getting all these cocktails from is anyone's guess, yeah. But there you go. Until a helicopter full of goons show up and start kidnapping her before they even know who she is. Man, it's a good thing the one woman those goons were there to kidnap in the entire city of Osaka during a massive alien attack just so happened to walk up to them the moment they landed.
How did they know she was there?
But how did the goons know that where Mitsuki was? Oh. What was their plan on finding her in the panicked crowd? What if she'd already been killed by the aliens? And where's the drunken high monk from last season?
Yep.
Who knows? This is Invasion, where nothing makes nothing any makes. Sense ever.
Was she even... Sorry, you're not done yet,
I'm
are
not
you?
Done
okay.
We have so many questions already. Yes.
Anyway,
we're only 5 minutes in.
Mitsuki is kidnapped and flown away from the alien attack, and she's pissed off that her kidnappers aren't fighting the aliens because apparently she's the only one in Japan who knows how to use fire. Side note, maybe President Binya Mombate should use one of her emergency broadcasts to inform the public that fire kills the aliens.
You think?
Nah, that makes too much sense. But the kidnappers tell Mitsuki not to worry. They're taking her to a place where she may be able to save everyone. And that place is the Amazon rainforest, Brazil, Earth, where the alien vessel from last season crash landed. Turns out that for the last 4 months, tech billionaire Elon Musk, Nikhil Kampur, who's basically the Indian Elon Musk, has been funding research of the alien vessel, desperately looking for a way to rebrand it into X, the Everything Invasion.
That's it.
Why would the world governments allow a private billionaire citizen sole access to the one thing that could potentially save the entire planet? The only explanation is that the aliens are super, super vulnerable to the community notes feature, I guess. Nikhil Kapoor meets with Mitsuki and tells her that he wants her to go into the alien spaceship and make contact with the alien hive mind. But Mitsuki doesn't trust the military or Kapoor. But Kapoor wins her trust by saying that the only rule he ever follows is to make sure he's always breaking one. But if he only has one rule and he's always breaking one, does that mean he always follows the rules? Oh, Simon Kinsberg, you master wordsmith, you. Anyway, Mitsuki meets her future lesbian lover, Maya Castillo, the resident psychologist who administers the psych test to Mitsuki, who fails spectacularly.
She's got great hair.
But Kapoor doesn't give a fuck. He sends Mitsuki into the alien craft anyway, despite the fact that everyone who went before her had their brains fucked with by the aliens and their memories wiped out. But Mitsuki is like, who needs memories? I have an iPhone with my lesbian lover's TikToks on them. That's all I need, baby. So Castillo leads Mitsuki into the alien ship and into a room that is apparently bigger than Canada, according to one of the technicians. And you have to wonder if any of the show's writers have ever actually been to Canada at this point. Anyway, there's an alien consciousness trapped in a quarantine room, and Mitsuki goes inside to make contact. Then, using her language without sound knowledge, she turns the alien consciousness into a big butthole of light, but the butthole doesn't take a liking to Mitsuki until she starts playing the dulcet tunes of David Bowie. And once the alien butthole starts rocking out to Major Tom, Piece of Shit Jr. starts hearing humming, Anisha Malik's alien metal shiv starts rippling, and guess what? Caspar Morrow, who's no longer dead in the hospital morgue like he was at the end of last season, is now in a coma and has brain activity suddenly going off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so first off, fireworks really good.
Fireworks.
I mean, it doesn't just burn them, it just turns them into ash.
Yeah, they die instantly.
Like they're fucking getting blipped in.
It did not work that well in season one.
It was just, whoosh, they just melt.
They had full on blow torches in season one. They were like, it's only holding them back. And now in this one, it's just like,
Mitsuki's a full-on video game character pulling Molotov cocktails out her asshole. And she's a great shot. She never misses.
Yeah.
She puts those things right where there's four of them.
She throws
jump
with
right
her elbow. And I'm like, you're not going to get any kind of loft on that, sweetheart. Yeah. You got to get a little more shoulder in there.
In fact, she's so good, she throws one, it blows up.
Oh.
And one of the wall crawlers changes direction
and
jumps into it.
I saw that.
It's magical.
I like
it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I like that.
Man.
Yeah, I love the magic of the movie.
I was like, I think Potato Chipmunk gave her some special powers.
Maybe.
I think that's what she did some special.
You know, the best part about this is I didn't watch the whole first season and developed such a salty disdain. And I just simply watched this just to watch it. And you guys have so much just like pent up hate that, like, no matter what happens,
it's just resentment.
Yeah. I mean, I hate Indian Elon Musk. I really hate that character. Was he in the first season?
No.
He was awful. He kept going like, like, what was that? I don't know what
that's
that was.
That's to show he's diabolical.
I mean, I know. Ew. So I do have one question. I'm jumping ahead.
Just pet his cat.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump ahead in the Mitsuki storyline. But she gets taken by the soldiers, thrown in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're in the middle of the Amazon jungle.
I was going
to
say.
She blipped to the Amazon across the fucking ocean.
She Michael Bay all the way there.
From Japan to South America, the Brazil Amazon forest. And there's a giant mothership crashed in the middle of the Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, and we're 4 months after this, right? How in the fuck did they build an entire base, not only outside this ship, but inside this ship's butthole to where they can all go inside through all the massive maze of tunnels and buildings and facilities and computer stations and they literally built a base inside the ship.
Again,
so she can have access to.
2 years would have made more sense.
Right.
This is impossible.
Also, that ship is the size of a city.
Yeah.
And it's like everything is just kind of like right, like they walk in about 10 minutes in. It's like, oh, here's all our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like it should take them a lot longer to get to places just, in the ship because it's huge.
Right.
It's crazy.
If I had to walk home from here, how long would it take? And that's not even
a couple of days.
And that's not even the other side of town. That's I mean, really, how far is that? 10, 15 miles?
4 miles an hour?
It'd probably take you 2 days.
Oh, it would take me 2 days. I'd probably get those afternoon.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
You
would.
You could do it in a day.
You'd be in bad shape because it's hot outside and gross.
Yeah. But right off the bat, so this is the scene that, you know, starts off the show after the World Defense Coalition's president addresses the world. And we see Mitsuki there basically like, you know, killing all these aliens left and right. Mm-hmm. But the guys who are sent to retrieve her land right in the middle of this, like, attack. Mm-hmm. And she just walks up to them and it's like, are you from the World Defense Coalition? They're like, Mitsuki Yamoto, you're coming with us. And it's just like, how did they find her?
Right.
Well, they found somebody they thought was her. That's what they said. Oh, we thought we found you, but we were wrong. We got you now, though. But let's get back. I do think it is fair that we need to state Osaka, Japan, and the Amazon rainforest are not close.
No. Mm-hmm.
They're really far.
Polar opposite sides of the planet.
Where was she?
If you believe in planets.
Well, they never said.
We're in the Matrix.
You got it.
They never said which Earth the Brazil location was at.
Whoa.
At the end of season one with the monk, where was that? Was that still Japan?
Yeah, that was Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the Buddhist monks all lost faith in their religion because of the alien invasion, and they became weed-smoking, beer-drinking
chip eaters
who just surf the internet all day.
That's interesting.
The sacrilege of the eating of the chips. I can't take it.
Why would Buddhists be upset about aliens?
I don't know. Why would any religion be upset about
aliens? Well, that's I mean, if you want to get into theology, there's a lot of the God created this, that sort of thing. But Buddhists just honestly believe in reincarnation. So why are they upset about it?
Well, the biggest thing to me with this episode is like, why are the world's governments just handing over control of this spaceship to a private billionaire citizen? Why? Like they could.
They let Elon Musk put a car in space.
Well, this is a little bit different because this has to do with like a very immediate threat to the planet. So you would think that like, the nations would have like a kind of like, I don't know, group that would be running this thing.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, they let people do whatever they want in space. I mean, we're letting India put things on the moon now. It's fucking ridiculous.
This isn't the moon, though. This is Earth, as is pointed out many times in the show. And so, like, you would think that, like, the Brazilian government would have, like, you know, some type of oversight there. You would think the United States would definitely have a presence there instead of just, like, one billionaire who's apparently financing this whole thing, even though the World Coalition could, like, come together and basically, like, fund anything into perpetuity to save the planet and the species. Like, none of this makes any sense to me.
You're talking about communism, bro. Okay? Talk about communism. We're not bringing communism into this world just because the world's ending. No.
Well, you know, I'm just happy that
Look, if I know anything,
I'm just happy that Apple TV has kept up with this abhorrent.
Oh, he's the sourcing.
This abhorrent show. It hasn't gotten any better. In fact, I think it's gotten a little worse. We only got through two stories with this first episode.
Well, it was the same two characters that started off the first season. Mm-hmm. So, like, you had Nisha Malik and Mitsuki Yamoto, who were like kind of like the main stories that were featured in the first episode of season one. Mm-hmm. So they're starting off this one. I kind of agree with Tom on this, where it's like, this was the best episode of Invasion we've yet gotten, but it's a low bar because like this was not a good episode. But out of the context of the entire series we've seen so far, this is definitely more fun because I think I told you, Jude, when we were watching, I was like, hey, at least stuff's happening. At least like we're seeing aliens. At least we're seeing, you know, weird shit. You know, like we didn't get any of that stuff in season one, at least not for the first like three or four episodes. So I feel like they did do a slight course correction, but it might be a little too late.
Okay, but like everyone who makes contact with the alien butthole has their memories wiped. But Mitsuki just has like the magic in her where she's just like, I don't even care. Look, it's not even going to happen to me because I'm the chosen one.
Well, I think that there's they're carrying over the fact that Hinata has become part of the alien hive mind from season one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in season one, Mitsuki was able to make contact with the alien vessel because Hinata was reaching out to her. And we all know that Casper is also part of that hive mind now. So the idea here is that Mitsuki was recognized by Hinata from the alien hive mind, which is why it became the butthole to begin with. And then once she started playing Major Tom, which was the song they fell in love to and had their first night of lesbian sex with, was the thing that started like, you know, sending it into overdrive. So there's definitely some interesting stuff going on there that they set up in season one, but they're not very good at explaining.
And that's the whole thing. They're not explaining anything. I mean, they're just expecting us to go along with their nonsense.
I feel like it would have made more sense for alien Hinata hive mind butthole. Instead of wiping the memories of everyone who tries to make contact with her, to put in the person's memory, get me Mitsuki.
Maybe it did.
Could have.
Whoa.
Shut up, Tom.
That might be why Mitsuki's there.
Right? That could be. Here's a real question. You guys ever watch Dark Skies?
See, I think Fallen Skies is a better comparison.
What do they call it? Dark Skies? Fallen Skies.
No. So Dark Skies is a different show than Fallen Skies.
What am I talking about?
Fallen Skies had Noah Wiley in it.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking
about. He led a resistance against an alien invasion.
That show
was way better than this show.
Oh, boy.
Way better.
I did watch every episode of that show.
I did too, yeah.
Yeah. It's not good. It doesn't make any sense, but I watched every episode. There was this guy, he was like cooking for him.
I don't know if I've watched it.
Matt knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it was like a big storyline part. They're like, this food sucks. This guy's like, well, I can cook. And they're like, morale.
I actually really like that show. It was a good show on TNT.
Yeah, you and I are the only ones that watched it.
Way better than this show. Vader, you said you had some notes.
I've kind of covered most of it. There was just comments that I made along the way. I think we did get introduced to a love interest for Piece of Shit Junior though.
Ooh.
That was kind of the ketchup daughter, the ketchup girl.
Kid, yeah, because they're about the same age.
I saw that look.
Probably why he got aged 5 years because we needed to have a new love interest for this girl.
What do you mean? It's just been years since season one.
No, it's been four months, dude.
They didn't age him. He aged.
Well, then they needed to recast the character.
Yeah, he's like a president, just like aged like 10 years in a matter of minutes.
Or they could have just said it was 2 years later. That would have made more sense.
2 years later. That's all they had to do.
All they had to do.
Yeah, that's all they had to do.
It would explain how shit got so bad so fast because it's been 2 years.
Yeah. But the weird thing here is that, so they've had 4 months to work on this and the governments are like, you're moving too slow. I was like, I think they've come a pretty long way in 4 months.
Right.
Elon Musk has.
Yeah. Elon Musk.
The government is still up there trying to do the paperwork to try to see how many cargo containers they need to fly down to Brazil.
Logistics are an important part of the battle.
But we've seen that because of Mitsuki's interaction with the alien butthole. So Piece of Shit Junior is now hearing things again. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to get a Wajo next episode.
Wajo.
The alien metal shiv, the only weapon to kill an alien, is reacting again. And of course, the big reveal, the big cliffhanger that everyone's supposed to be so shocked about is that Casper is in a coma. instead of being dead.
Turns out
he was only mostly dead.
He's not dead.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
And we don't know where Trevante is.
Well, he's going to be in the episode too.
But we have
one more storyline to cover.
There is? What was the other one?
Jim Bell Tyson.
Still dead.
He's still dead.
Still dead.
Yeah. Still dead.
I mean,
go watch season one.
I'm going to go watch season one. I'm going to watch it this weekend, buddy.
All right, guys. So final thoughts on the episode, Tom.
Yeah, straight up front. I have no idea what this show is about. I watched this episode and I said, okay, what's next? It's not the great, right? But, you know, okay, cut scenes are okay. Osaka. Okay, sure. Okay, all right. The alien butthole thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Uh-huh. It was a butthole of light, which is right there. I was getting weird abyss vibes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then it turned into a butthole. And I'm like, oh, I know what to do with that. I'm going to watch the next one, even if I don't review it. I'm going to watch the next one just to spite all of you. And I'll put comments in on something and just be like, it wasn't that bad. Give him a chance.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Vader 74. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this episode? What'd you think of it?
Same old. More of the same. More questions than answers. More what the fucks. More head scratching. It's like, listen, man, like I said, when you're as stupid as I am about picking things apart, and I'm not good at it, and I can come up with a page of notes asking questions about why and what and where, they have problems, man. They have problems. And it's just too much stuff in this show that doesn't make any sense. And it's fun to watch and it's fun to talk shit about. But, man, I really hope it gets better. I kind of want it to get better.
Sweet summer
challenge. I wish they would, like, at least give us something, give us characters that we care about. I don't care about these characters. The piece of shit family, I hope they all die in a fiery car crash. I don't care about them. Except maybe the little girl, because she seems fairly innocuous and innocent. You know, but the son and the mom now, I have disdain for. Mm-hmm. I do not care about them. You know, so... whatever.
I'm just personally curious. What were your notes? Like, what did
just,
you write
just
down?
Like a piece of shit junior needs an attitude adjustment. Did piece of shit junior age 5 years in the last couple months? You know, just stuff like that. We covered everything in my notes. We covered on the show.
Okay. Good to know.
So
Jude,
yes.
Any final thoughts on this episode? What was your take on the opening episode of season 2?
I was trying to keep an open mind for this episode because we've watched other shows before. Case in point, C. We watched season 1. It was absolutely ludicrous. Mm-hmm. We went into season 2 expecting a lot more of the same. And what we got was a completely different show that had been fixed and became this great television show that we all really kind of fell in love with. Still made fun of it, mm-hmm. but it became such a better show. I was really trying to keep an open mind, even though I knew that... scenario. You can't have lightning doesn't strike twice in the same spot.
No.
So I kind of was just very, it is what it is. Matter of fact, let's just go into it and see what we get. And halfway through, I texted our group chat and I was just like, I fucking hate my life right now. I hate this show. I hate all of the characters. Nothing is fun in this show. There's no cool alien action. There's no characters I care about. There's no dialogue between the characters that even makes sense or that you can get invested in. This whole show sucks and I hate it. And I'm upset that I'm committed to another fucking season of it.
Yeah, we should point out that this episode was written by this show's creator and showrunner, Simon Kinberg, who's best known for X-Men Dark Phoenix writing and directing that.
Barf.
He doesn't have exactly the most stellar track record, even though he's got a lot of well-known movies under his belt. The one thing I want to ask you guys is that, Alex had to leave the country to avoid talking about this show.
I hope he doesn't fall in any giant pits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awful.
So I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think Alex would have thought of this episode?
Oh, he's right there with us, except that we would just be making more fun of it.
Well, he's going to have to watch 2 episodes when he gets back to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. No, he had just as much loathing as for this show as we all did.
Yeah.
Well, in a way,
I think he was the most hurt by it.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a way, like the first season was rougher on Alex because he was looking forward to a show that had Sam Neill in it.
Right.
And he only got one episode with Sam Neill and then had to suffer through like a really bad show for like a good 10 episodes. But we're committed to 10 episodes of season two. And what do you guys have any predictions for what's going to happen in the next couple of episodes?
I couldn't even venture a guess. I have no idea. I really don't have any idea. I mean, Mitsuki or whatever the fuck her name is going to, she's the chosen one. Mm-hmm. She's going to, you know, we're all going to have our kumbaya moment and she's going to like connect and we're going to be able to communicate with them.
Through the power of lesbianism.
Through the power of lesbianism.
I think she's going to crawl into the butthole to stay with Hinata's hive mind because she wants to be with Hinata.
Somehow the earthlings that are connected are going to join forces and repel the invasion in the end. I don't know, man. I really have no idea. It seems like it's all really convoluted. And like they might have an end game, but they don't know how to get there kind of thing going on, maybe. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like Jude said, I don't hate doing this because I know that we have our viewers. We gained some followers from our season one review of this show that are still with us. And I very much appreciate those people. There are some really cool people. And I don't mind watching this show. I can give them an hour a week. It's fine.
It's not even a full hour.
It's not even a full hour. So, you know, for those guys, I am willing to sacrifice my time to watch this bullshit show and sit here and we can talk shit about it for 45 minutes to an hour once a week. It's fine. It's cool. But, you know, it's so bad, it's fun to make fun of. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when my mentally stupid brain can, like I said, so easily pick this show apart, then they have serious problems. It's literally like a ChatGPT is writing this script. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
You cannot convince me otherwise that a human is writing this thing.
Well, you can tell.
There's too many questions to be
asked. It has a very, let's just play it by ear.
Yeah.
Concept.
You can tell they're using the updated version of ChatGPT because things actually happen in this episode. I feel like so many episodes in season one, nothing happened. Like you sit there and watch an hour of TV and just be like,
yeah,
they could have told the same story in like 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the sneezer? I want some more of those aliens. Where are the sneezer aliens?
Well, what about the Starros?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
There are sneezers and then there's Starros.
Because all we've gotten is wall crawlers. I mean, it was only the first episode, but true. You know.
But it seems like wall crawlers are the easiest to deal with.
In the first season,
people had no idea how to kill them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And even like you pointed out, Jude, like there's some inconsistency there in terms of like how hard fire hits them. Because in the first season, first of all, I feel like the wall crawlers were bigger than they were in this episode. And they were more resistant to fire. Like fire would eventually wear them down. But like, you know, like the minute fire hit them, they wouldn't just die.
No, they didn't just turn into ash like a fucking vampire on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Which is why the magical bullshit device was such an important thing.
Right.
Because like you stab it and like the thing dies.
Yeah.
You know. And the fact that Anisha, 4 months later, is still running around with that thing and not trying to, like, help humanity with it just makes no sense to me.
Well, she's a hardcore survivalist now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
She's a girl boss.
Girl boss. Yeah.
No.
Man, I kind of expected them to try and course correct a little bit. Because I can't see how the producers and creators and makers of this show can go back and watch season one and not see the same stuff that we see.
It's so glaringly bad.
Yeah, but then they just go down. They're just doubling down on dumbassery.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's silly. It's silly.
Especially considering the fact that they had 2 years to kind of review like what people were saying about it.
And not only are they doubling down on their dumbassery, but they're just abandoning storylines and plots and people from the previous season that they should have brought in. Like the monk. I wanted to know where the monk went.
Yeah.
What happened to that guy?
He was the best character in season one.
He could have been Mitsuki's sidekick, you know?
Yeah.
Give us 5 more minutes of them developing a relationship.
I would have a flame-throwing or Molotov cocktail-throwing monk
more
so than Mitsuki. Yes.
Well, also, she had Hinata's father. She had, like, her simp, you know, guy that she worked with. Like, she had a crew from the first season that maybe, like, should have been taken by JASA and brought down to Brazil and stuff like that. I think that would have made more sense, but right. they wanted to start off with a bang.
But they just, the whole Brazil thing is just mind-blowing to me. I mean, the mothership lands in the middle of the jungle, but yet somehow in 4 months, we can literally make this giant science complex, mm-hmm. not only outside in the base, but going inside the ship,
yeah.
inside the mothership.
Yeah.
They have to create tunnels and hallways.
2 years would have made everything make a little bit more sense. Like yeah. even Mitsuki's hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like your hair doesn't grow out completely in four yeah. months.
She lost all her dye.
Yeah.
yeah. But so, yeah. this episode overall, I felt like it was an improvement over anything we got from season one. Mm-hmm. But it's an improvement in the sense that like it went from like absolutely terrible to just kind of terrible. You know, like
I would say yeah. mostly terrible.
Mostly terrible, yeah. Because there was a lot of stuff that still made zero fucking sense.
I'm honestly more interested in the movement now than anything else on this show.
And the and bowel movement.
The movement. Yeah. That was a really nice tree they had blocking that road, too. That was a really good tree gate. That was awesome.
Ketchup girl.
she, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
I like she gets up and they're like, is that real blood? And he's like, she's like, no, it's just Heinz 57, you know, like whatever.
Good old fashioned Heinz 57.
It's like, okay, dialogue, really good. But yeah, this was not a triumphant return for an Apple TV show. And unfortunately, we're locked in. We're going to be doing 9 more episodes. And the next episode looks to be a Trevante episode.
Oh, great. So Trevante episode.
Everyone's favorite asshole soldier. But we're also getting... not Zendaya and Bully from Casper's storyline.
Yeah,
next oh, episode too.
Oh, goody.
Good. Yeah. All the discount best
Zendaya.
Characters.
Discount Zendaya.
I need more explanation why the piece of shit family is trusting the organization that is responsible for killing Daddy piece of shit.
Do we know that they the ones that killed?
They're the ones that came in.
I just thought
took out the military.
So the people in the first season they weren't known as the movement yet. They were kind of like the start of the
yeah.
movement.
Yeah, but they're the anti-military organization. Yeah. Yeah. They're the same fucking people.
She knew he was cheating on her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why, I mean, she probably doesn't care all that much.
Yeah, she does.
Not as much as you'd think.
She made that whole Instagram meal.
I mean, I guess. I don't know, whatever.
And she made out with not a doctor
yeah.
as well.
I am also kind of hoping, I really wish Mitsuki would just get over it already.
It's been 4 months, man.
I wish the show would get over it.
I would kill my child before I'd kill Mitsuki. My lover. It's like, shut the fuck up. Nobody's going to kill their child before their lover. That is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. They you know, when they were doing that test, mm-hmm, that replicant test? Oh, I wish her name was Decker. Because, you know, it's like, is she a robot? Because that's what it felt like they were doing. You know?
And am I crazy, or is that psychologist obviously the lesbian love interest this
season? Oh, I don't know. I don't even care. I wish I had some kind of empathy or buy-in or some reason to care about anybody on this show. And that is the problem with this show. Yeah. I've said it earlier today. I don't care about anybody on this show.
They made all of their characters either extremely unlikable or so inconsistent
right.
that you can't invest in them.
Yeah, and then if you do, then they just make it worse.
There's also a serious lack of humor in right. the show. You know, you don't have to have jokey humor, but you do have to have a little bit of levity.
Like right. laughable moments. Yeah. yeah.
And I feel like the only character I've ever connected with on the show was Jim Bell Tyson. And he died in the yeah. first episode mm-hmm. and has never come back. So it's hard to get invested in the show. It's very easy to see its glaring flaws when mm-hmm. you're watching it. But overall, I think that this is a better start to season two than I was expecting. So I'm kind of interested to see where they go with it.
I'll respect your opinion, but I don't agree with it. I don't feel like it was a good start to anything. I just, you know,
but that's just like your opinion.
Man. I know, man. It's fine. That's your opinion too, man. So... But yeah, let's get on to season. Let's get on to episode 2. Let's see what happens with the Trevante and company.
Sounds good.
See if he's
all right, everyone.
Asshole.
Thanks for tuning in and join us. We're going to be doing week to week every episode of Invasion Season 2, whether we like it or not. We will be posting every Thursday on the Salty Nerd channel. So because we didn't get advanced screeners, because Apple knows that we don't like the show, we are going to be about a week behind the actual show. So, like, you know, this...
It doesn't matter.
Is there anybody else talking about this?
I don't think so. But basically, like, our reviews / recaps will drop a week after the show, probably, like, the day after it, the new episode comes out. So you have plenty of time to get caught up on it before you watch our episodes. Yeah. But anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe. Also, go to Apple Podcasts, if you get a chance, give our podcast a 5-star rating. We're trying to get as many 5-star ratings as we can to apply to become actually accredited movie reviewers over on Rotten Tomatoes.
We're going to fix everything. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So if you like our reviews, help us get on Rotten Tomatoes by giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you want to support more content like this and get exclusive content, stuff that we can't actually show on YouTube, go to our YouTube membership area or go to saltynerdclub.com and join our Patreon. All your support goes a really long way. We really appreciate it. And we will keep making content like this because of people who support us.
Like
you. In our member area.
Like you. Exactly.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for being here. And tune in next week for episode 2.
And Alex will be back, hopefully.
And Alex will hopefully be back.
If he escapes the airlines.
Yeah, you think there's an actual invasion going on. But anyway, stay salty, my friends.
Hey guys, if you like this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel and comment below on your favorite video as well. That goes a long way with helping us boost our channel and get out there in front of more people. And it lets YouTube know that we're doing something right. And if you want to catch us live, we go live 2 times a week, once on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time and on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. So join us there in the chat. We will see you on the live stream. Stay salty.